Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Turn your Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 16 through 18 tonight of a message that God laid on my heart titled Walking in Wisdom. And actually in my Bible it says the spirit versus the flesh, really good picture of what it is. One more encouragement to starve the flesh. Nothing good comes out of feeding the flesh. Matter of fact, it's nasty. It's bad when we do. It's like an old dog that you go, man, that dog is foul. My old Yorkie, old Winnie now. Winnie's gotten old. Winnie is crotchety. Winnie is about as foul gets. When you get near Winnie and go, she ain't got no teeth, but she, because why? She's miserable. And when you are walking in the flesh, I'm going to tell you something. You get miserable. Anybody known miserable people in your life? I'm raising both hands. I've known a lot of them in my lifetime. I've known people that I have said I could not imagine anybody want to ever been married with them. And a lot of times as a spouse passed away, you go, you know what? I almost wonder if they went prematurely because they were tired of waking up every day with the misery that their life has become. Life in the flesh is misery. Life in the spirit is blessing. It's life. Do you present yourself living in a way where others are refreshed being around you? In other words, do you have people that'll say, hey, I want you to know that you're an encouragement to me. When I'm around you, I don't know, it's hard to explain. They're talking to you. I'm just encouraged when I'm around you. It's contagious. The joy, the peace that you have, I can't explain it, but every time I'm around you, I'm refreshed. Or do you never hear anything like that? If you don't ever hear anything like that, I will tell you, most likely, I'm not saying you're a Debbie Downer, but most likely you are not a source of refreshment and encouragement to people, because when you are, they will share that with you. One of the interesting things about the couple that visited this morning, I didn't tell them I was a pastor. There was no reason to. I shared Jesus with them. And when I invited them to church, and they said, well, we're going to come, I actually kind of chuckled because I said, it's going to be kind of funny when they realize that I'm the pastor. Because I never, I'm just dressed in a normal pair of pants yesterday and a shirt. You don't say that because why? I don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that I'm a pastor, does it? What matters is that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what I want people to know. It doesn't matter. I'm not one that's going to throw around, oh, by the way, hey, I'm a pastor, why don't you come to church? No, because what that is really in a sense is almost condescending. By the way, I'm up here. I want you to come to church, because you'll be down here. Why don't you work here? So that they see the reality of you just being a normal person. Because basically, don't forget, we are all, you have that old song, A Sermon in Shoes? I'm a sermon in shoes. That's a good little song. Have you ever heard that? Carol, you know that, don't you? Lord, when I come to heaven, me and Willis Pope's going to talk. No. But that's an old, huh? Oh, I guarantee you he did, Carol. He just was scared to sing it in front of you. But A Sermon in Shoes, are you a sermon in shoes? If you're a sermon in shoes, then the likeness of Christ should in one way or another be expressed. And when you're walking in wisdom, you are living in wisdom, you are feeding the spirit nature versus the flesh nature. I hope you found Galatians chapter 5. Again, we'll look at verses 16 through 18 tonight. And if you're able, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. I say then, walk by the spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the spirit, And the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Father God, we thank you tonight. Lord, hide me behind the cross, God, so that your word would move, would speak as only you can do through your Holy Spirit's power and your presence. Father, we thank you for Jesus, Lord. We thank you for the hope. And God, tonight as we look at your word, Father, and the wisdom that is found in it, feeding the spirit nature versus the flesh, God, give us insight, wisdom, direction. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, verse 16, I say then, walk by the Spirit. And then, of course, what is the byproduct of this? That you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. We'll stop right there. First thing I want to share with you tonight is when we walk in the Holy Spirit, we walk in God's will. It's really profound there because when it says, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. What are the desires of the flesh? The things that are contrary to the things of the Lord, the things of the Spirit. Do you believe that I can go and walk in Bar Nashville or whatever? That's the only one I used to, I'm probably not even there anymore, but many years ago, that was the big bar in Nashville's place that I had been many times, not in walking in the Spirit. I was lost and I was living like a lost person. But when you went in there, did you think about living in the Spirit? No. What does a believer have in common with what occurs in places like that? Let me give you an little insight. Nothing good. Nothing. They don't go in there for character building. You don't go in there to enhance your marriage. You might enhance your friendships. No, I'll be honest with you. When people get drunk, they start talking a bunch of old nonsense. Yeah, I'm going to go work for you. Oh, I'll be there tomorrow to help you. No, I've got to go home. I got to work tomorrow. Oh, I'll come help you. Don't worry about it. Just stay here with me. I'll come help you. I got bought into that lie a few times. Don't lie to me. People talk a bunch of old nonsense when they're under the control of the spirits. And it is not the Spirit of God, by the way. It's the spirits, plural. And I'll be honest with you, I think it's a demonic, and it's a demonic in every representation and form. But when we walk by the Holy Spirit, and we walk in the Holy Spirit, we walk in God's will. And when we are walking by the Spirit, we're not going to carry out the desires of the flesh. Because what we're going to be doing is yielding our passions, our wants, and our wills to the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God controls us, it's like yesterday. I wanted to go home. I was tired. I had a couple things after men's breakfast to do. And I remember I was ready to go home. And I got the call about that person who was struggling and needed to talk. So after I'd got done talking to these couples about Christ, I leave and I go. And I'm sitting in this place in a smoke-filled environment. It wasn't a club, wasn't nothing. It was actually somebody's house, but they don't smoke in the house. They smoke in the garage. The person was in the garage, so that's my mission field at that moment. And I was in there, and it was actually so hard for me that I was sick until evening time because I almost felt like I had nicotine poisoning because the stench was so strong. And I was sitting there, didn't think about it during that period because what my focus was is sharing Jesus with this person during that time. And that was, in a sense, my mission field. My mission field was being yielded to the Spirit. And I'll be honest with you, it was the sense, the sacrifice, because I did not, in my flesh, want to do anything other than go home and rest. That's what I wanted to do. But that, in a sense, is what being a sacrificial yielder of our person as a follower of Jesus Christ is not based on, oh, good, I'm a psychologist and I get $95 an hour. Hey, I'll be over there in about 15 minutes because I got a 3-hour minimum. I'm going to knock myself down about $300. Hey, I'll puke a few times on the way home because you get too much nicotine in your body. Big deal because I'll have $300 to show for it. No. When you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't get nothing. I told the man, I said, by the way, sir, let me tell you one thing. I'm not here because I get anything for being here, but I want you to experience what Jesus did for me back in 2004. I said, I know what the freedom in being a follower of Jesus Christ is and what God did in my heart and my life in transforming me. The people inside this house knew me before I came to Jesus Christ, and I encourage you after I leave to ask them what I was before I came to faith in Jesus Christ. And I said, I want to tell you something. The life that I live now, I would not want to go back. And I said this to him. If someone came to me right now and offered me, I said, really, money would really help me in my situation right now. We got 11 people at my home. If someone came to me and had $1 million, I said, I don't know how big $1 million is in cash, but let's just say, for argument's sake, they bring $1 million to me right now and say, listen, I want you to do something, and I'm going to give you this $1 million, but there is a condition I'm going to give it to you under. It is that you leave Longview Baptist Church and you stop professing the name of Christ. You can live and enjoy your life, enjoy your family. You get this, no strings attached. The one string attached is that if you go back to preaching or you go back to sharing Christ, this money's gone. I told him, I said, listen, that money would really help me tremendously. But I said, I want to tell you something. I know categorically, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I would say no. Because I, under no circumstances, want to go back to the man I was before September 20th of 2004. I will never forget the daunting, the unrelenting emptiness of being separated from God. I don't want nothing to do with it. There is no amount of money, sir, I said to him, that you could give me that would compel me to go back to that place. Because I said, sir, I know what you feel right now all too well. And I said, I'll tell you what, there is no greater joy that if I live the rest of my life hand to mouth, meaning it comes in our home, friends, it leaves faster than it comes in, it goes out. But I said, the peace of God in living the life that God has called us to live, there is no greater joy or peace. And I'm telling you this, if we lose everything doing what God wants us to do, to God be the glory, so be it. If God takes us out of the comfort and a sense of our lives, having a place that we are able to call home, yep, we owe on it. We don't have a lot of debt in the sense of buying TVs and all that stuff, don't have that kind of debt, but if so be it, whatever happens with this, we lose, to God be the glory, amen? Because at the end of the day, really, there is nothing that compares to being in the middle of God's plan and God's will for your life or my life. So again, when we walk in the Holy Spirit, we walk in God's will. We might not walk in physical comfort that we think we want, we think we deserve, but there is no comparison to being in the middle of God's blessing, because we are in God's will, and when we walk in the Holy Spirit, we will walk in God's will. You will not walk in the Holy Spirit outside of God's will, because when you and I are walking in the Spirit, that compels us to do what? The Father's will. Walking outside of God's will is when we are not walking within the power of the Holy Spirit. What we are doing is taking control of what God's designed will for our life is, and we're out walking outside his plan. That's when you, Baptists always call it backsliding. I call it rebellion. It sounds prettier with backsliding, doesn't it? Well, they're just backsliding. No, they're a rebel right now, just like Moses. Call it what it is. Amen? Let's own it. Let's own the actions for what it is. They went to their aunt's house. No, she got knocked up. Oh, we don't like to hear it called that. Let's call it what it is. Oh, well, they just passed away. No, they took their life. Children, this is not God's plan and will for their life. Let's call it what it is. It's time to stop candy coating things and stop saying, well, Uncle Sam just a little far away from the Lord right now. No, he's in rebellion against God. And he told me to his face, he doesn't want nothing to do with Christ, Christianity, or Jesus right now. Call it what it is. Amen? We've got to stop not calling things what it is, because I truly believe that we are in the place that we are in because we have so desperately tried to avoid reality. We've not wanted to call our sin what it is. We've wanted to call it something else. We want to call it homosexuality, not, what does the Bible call it? Sodomy. Sodom and Gomorrah. No, we've wanted to call it gay. We've wanted to call it living an alternative lifestyle. Let's call it what God's word calls it. But we don't want that. We want to make it sound palatable. We want it easy on the ears because somebody might get offended. Does anybody worry about what Jesus thinks? Does anybody worry about what God thinks about something? Let's stop worrying about what people think about it and worry what a holy and a righteous God thinks about it. What does God think about the way that you and I are scared to stand up against ungodliness and with truth confronting ungodliness in a loving and compassionate way? Let's stop being worried that someone's going to get offended when you lovingly go and try to speak truth into their life. If they get offended, it's not your problem. It is a God problem. That's where the ultimate issue lies. Not in you, but don't judge me. Judgment is passing sentence. When you have a brother or sister in Christ that has wandered spiritually from the Lord, what are you doing? You lovingly go, hey, I love you. What's going on? How can I help you? It looks as though like you're running from the Lord. God won't bless that. And I might be wrong. Tell me, share, so that I, if I'm wrong in my coming to you, like Matthew 18 says, if I'm missing something, please help me understand it because I love you and I care about you. Don't judge me. Go on back up, church, back out of their life and say, I love you. And I'm sorry that you see that as an offense. I'm heartbroken. And accountability is a two-way street. And if you don't want accountability, that's your choice. And I will remove myself from your accountability circle if you desire not to do that. But brother, sister, I'll be praying for you. That's a great way. What have you done? You've done your biblical obligation to get in their business lovingly. You didn't go to someone else and tell them about their business. You've gone. You've done what you can do. You had a close enough relationship and accountability that you were able to engage them. And what have you done? They rejected that. Do what Jesus did. Shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them and hit reverse back out of that. Put them in the place of prayer and go find someone who wants accountability. Because you know what you'll do? You'll spend time doing something that will have a return for the investment spiritually that you make in their life. That's what's important tonight. Walk in the Holy Spirit. You will walk in God's will. You might not walk in a popularity contest. You might not win popularity contests. But guess what tonight? The popularity contest you want to win is with Jesus, meaning you're in his will for your life. You are an obedient follower of Jesus Christ, meaning in sense you are popular in God's court, in the King's court, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's where you're going to be seated. You might be hated by all those around you, but so be it. You won't stand before them. You will stand before the holy and righteous God of creation one day who sent his son Jesus to die for you. And that's the person that you want to make pleased tonight. That's the person that you want happy with the way that you live. The Holy Spirit of God. Verse 17 again. For the flesh desires what is what? Against the Spirit. And the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. Verse 17, second thing I want to share comes out of that, which is what nature are you feeding tonight? The Spirit nature or the flesh nature? Each one of us are feeding one of those two. Doesn't matter if you think you're not doing it. If you're not feeding a nature in your life tonight, by default, your flesh nature is not just being fed, it's being engorged. That means that your spiritual nature is starving. Don't tell me, well, I just don't have time to read. I've been out of the Word. I'm not going backwards. You're lying to yourself, and the truth is not in you, is what the Bible says. Because if you're not feeding your spirit nature, your flesh nature is growing out of control like a rabid animal. And let me tell you one thing, to get that under control, when you've allowed it to get out of control, I will tell you, is a very difficult job. The Bible says the deceitfulness of sin hardens the heart. Better not to have known the way of righteousness than to know the way of righteousness and turn your back on the sacred command that was passed down to you. What that means is, it is a whole lot harder when you've allowed the sin nature, the flesh nature to run rampant, and you've been out in left field and you get hardened spiritually. I will tell you, one of the hardest places to come back from, and I'll tell you that. I know people who've tried to, many times. I'm in fear for them because they're not finding it easy to get back. It's one thing if you fall away a little bit and you start struggling, God whips you and you are broken and repentant. It's another thing when I'm talking about God whips you and he keeps whipping you and you keep walking and he's whipping you and he's whipping you. And then all of a sudden down the road, you're like, man, I don't like what's going on in my life and it's really bad. And all of a sudden they're like, you know, wow, things were really bad back then. It's like everything stopped. You know what I'm talking about? It's like the conviction just stops one day. And all of a sudden they start to look back and they're way over here and they're looking back over there and going, man, I sure wish that I felt like I used to. I've had them say it to my face. Many, many years ago, I remember hearing people say, I wish I could just get back to where I used to be. I remember when I desired so much reading the Bible and I wanted so much to spend time with Christ. I don't have that. I want it so bad. I've had them say it to my face. You know what happened when people say that to me? Inside, it makes me want to throw up. You know why? I hear them saying, I want so much to get back to that place, and I am having a hard time figuring out how to do it. The deceitfulness of sin hardens the heart. I'll give you scripture after scripture. You can do your own study in it. But what I want to tell you tonight is, tonight you're feeding a nature. What nature are you feeding? And do you understand the consequences of not feeding the spirit nature? Understand that there are, and they are dire. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. It's really interesting when you think about it, all right? When you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So what's that mean? Oh, that means maybe when I'm a Christian, I can sin and it doesn't matter. Nope. When you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're not bound by legalism. Why are you not watching this filth? Why are you not watching this stuff that won't bring glory and honor to your name? Well, I'm not under the law. I'm doing it because I love Jesus. I'm not doing it because God's going to love me more. I don't dress modestly myself because God's going to love me more. I don't not go out and get involved in things just because God's going to say, oh, attaboy, wow, you make me so happy. Here's an extra little blessing for you as a result. No, it doesn't have anything to do with God. Cannot love me anymore. God can't love you or me any less when we bring disgrace on his name. Do you realize he loves us just as much then as when we are the height of obedience? Do you realize that? But when you're living in the Spirit, looking at the law and honoring God is not why you do it. The last final thing, here it is. When led by the Holy Spirit, we honor him because we love God, not because we have to. Do you get that? The things in my life that I'm not a part of have nothing to do with, oh no, God's going to get mad and I won't be a Christian anymore. No, has nothing to do with it. When we're led by the Holy Spirit, we want to honor God because we love God. Not because if we do this, God isn't going to love us. We do it because we want the very essence of our life to be the characterization, the manifestation of God's power and his presence in our life. That's why. Why do I want my life to be a living sacrifice to the Lord? Why do I want to share Jesus? Oh, Lord, I shared Jesus with someone yesterday. Oh, God, you're going to give me a car or something nice now, aren't you, God? No, how dare I would ever think that? Like Jesus isn't enough for me. God already promises to provide my needs. How dare I believe that in my obedience, God's going to give me some special something because I did it. Why? I'm using God like some kind of Holy Spirit lottery. No, God already promises to provide my needs, but what a privilege and an honor to be able to share Jesus with people that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and don't know the hope that I have and you have. We do that because we love Him. He gave His life for us. Why would we not value those precious babies that are being killed all over this nation through abortion? How in the world could we not have a heart for them? God forbid that anybody in this building tonight would ever agree with that, because I want to tell you, you are in stark contrast with the God of creation if you agree with that. I'll tell you that. I'll stand toe-to-toe with you, and I mean that with everything in me. There's a few things that I'll fight with you over, and that is one of them. God is the giver of all life. There are no mistakes. I don't care. The only mistake we make is believing that God makes mistakes, and He doesn't. What about a child who's got this disability? Excuse me? That God would so see to entrust you with that gift, that blessing. Excuse me? That mistake? The only mistake is in the thinking that God would make a mistake. Well, what happens if it costs a mother life? Who do you think you are? How dare you? Are you God? By the way, do you know all the number of people? I can come in here and read a list of them. One of them's a very famous football player that they told his mother, if he didn't kill her, he'd kill her. He said, I'm so thank you. Anybody know who he is? Thank you. Told his mother he's going to kill her if she didn't, if she had him. He said, I'm so thankful that my mother chose life, because if not, I would not be here right now. I wonder where the cure for coronavirus is. I wonder if it's in a dumpster somewhere since 1973. How about the cure for cancer? How about the cure for Alzheimer's and AIDS and every other thing in the planet? I wonder if it's sitting in a dumpster somewhere. And I'm sorry, y'all, this is not popular teaching and preaching tonight, and I don't care, because I care about God being honored, glorified, and lifted up. I don't care about some mass number of people who love me. It is about Jesus. It's about seeing the God of creation once again lifted up and holiness and righteousness being embraced by this nation and its people. And I will promise you, until this nation repents and turns back to the God that loves us, that sent Jesus to die for us, and repents of the wickedness that's running rampant throughout this country, we can expect nothing than a whole lot more of what we're getting. When led by the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters in Christ, we honor Him because we love God, not because we have to. We don't have to. God doesn't force us to honor Him. God doesn't force us to glorify Him. But I will tell you one thing tonight, there is no blessing outside of honoring and glorifying Him. Tonight, are you walking in wisdom? It's a question as we leave. Are you walking in wisdom? I don't want you to say tonight, you know, I wonder if he's just saying that's what he thinks. Oh, I'm going to believe that because that's what he thinks. I would challenge you truly to get in God's word and prove what I said to you was wrong tonight. And I'll stand up in front of the whole entire county or nation, for that matter, if you give me a platform, and I'll repent of it myself if I'm wrong. But I tell you what I'll find out. If you believe what I said was wrong tonight, if you really get in God's word, you will be the one that's repenting before God, not me. Because that's the problem. We've sat around and we've let these people that seem to be so wise justify things that God's word completely and vehemently stands opposed to. We have begun to self-justify all of it. In the name of this wisdom of doctors, of scientists, and everything else, God forbid we continue down this path, church. We've not seen a judgment in our lifetime like will continue to fall on this nation if we continue down this path. Derwood, what would your father think tonight if he saw what our nation was doing? What would he do? It'd break his heart, wouldn't it? He was like myself, and all I've heard from Derwood, him and I would have gotten along really well. He had a passion for Christ and for godliness and holiness. And for the years that he stood for what everything that God's word represents. And I think as followers of Jesus Christ, his desire was to see King Jesus lifted up, and he did it till his dying day. And by God's grace, his restraining grace, I will be able to do that. If not, brothers and sisters, I will be nothing but a warning sign in history of what not to do if I fall victim to the flesh, which is just as easy for me tonight or any of you than any other person who's ever messed up throughout history. The only way we do it is to walk in wisdom, and it's God's wisdom. God's will, his desire. Hey, apart from that, hey, I get mad. Somebody here says something to me, it makes me mad. I get upset. The next thing you know, I sit up there at 211 Richmond Cemetery Road and said, I'm done. I'm sick and tired out here trying to serve, bringing my little nice little 11 people, my family, going out to just love people. And all I'm getting is a bunch of lip. And I'm just done. That's what the enemy wants. Hey, if he can't shut me up physically by killing me, nothing else. He wants to sideline me. Do you know why? Because he loathes truth. Truth calls you and I to account, all of us. It calls us to make course corrections in our life, not in line with what we desire, but in line with truth. The unwavering truth of God's word. And you know what it does? It never changes. The old-time religion, not religion in the sense, but I'm talking about old-time truth, it doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't care if the coronavirus kills all but three of us. Truth is still truth. God is still good, and he's still faithful. And you know what I know? If we stay faithful to God's purpose and his plan, and we walk in wisdom, if God only allows three of us to maintain life, let's just say this was so much worse than, and again, not fear, we don't run in fear, but let's just say it is. And one day when all this is said and done, we show back up here and there's only three people. You know what we're going to be able to do? I'll be able to, if I'm one of them, most likely I wouldn't be one of them because my health's not real hot. I'd stand right there if I am, though. And I'm going to tell you what I'd say at the end of the service with my three people. We might just meet right here, and I'd stand right there. I'd say, God is good. And I'd say, all the time. And I'd say, all the time, God is good. Praise the Lord. You hear all those people? I just heard them shouting from glory because they know that God's good, and they have been revealed their essence of everything that when we had a church full of people, we shouted, they found out was true when they breathed their last breath. But you know what? There's also a shouting that happens in the other place. Ask the rich man about it. What was he begging? Please let me go back and tell my brothers. Please. So at that moment when you shout, God is good, if hell was able to have a doorway with which they could shout, they would say, God is good all the time, and you better listen to it, because what they are preaching and proclaiming and shouting is truth. There is a real heaven and a real hell, and I don't want no one to go there. That's what people in hell would do, because we get a window into that through the rich man. Tonight, my question to you is, are you walking in wisdom? We don't know what this week holds. This could be the last service we have for a month. We don't know. Well, we'll have a service, but you might see me on TV. You might see me online. Only God knows. Only God knows. In all honesty, you know, I find comfort in that. You might go, well, I don't know, that's kind of weird. I mean, you might not be able to be here for a month. No, I find, you ready for this? I find comfort in the uncertainty. You're going to say, I've lost my mind. I need some pills. I need to go to the doctor. And I need to see a really good psychiatrist that can get you some medicine. No, I'll tell you, you need some medicine if you're not comforted in the uncertainty. Because see, the reason I'm comforted in my uncertainty is because I realize that the God that I serve knows where I am headed, though I don't and you don't. He does. So he knows whether we'll have a service next Sunday morning, Wednesday night. And that's the great part, is I can rest and I can trust that the God that I serve is bigger than this whole entire thing. And you know what's interesting? When the bills don't work out at home, I get excited because I know that God's going to do something. Whether it is to strip me of everything and stick me on a new mission field, or whether he's going to come through at the last moment, it doesn't matter. Somebody at home was praying about they were going to go on a field trip this week that we didn't have the money for. And they were praying, I didn't know this, told me later on. They're praying that God was going to provide for that. And I said, well, that's great. And they said, I'm going to pray. Guess what? The aquarium closed. And I said, well, God answered that prayer, didn't he? We didn't need none of that money that we didn't have that was going to be needed for that field trip. Is that not cool? Now, some of you go, oh, that just happened. No, that's an answer to prayer. God didn't want them to go on that trip. There is peace in uncertainty. Are you finding that? Walking in wisdom is to be at peace with uncertainty. Because though you and I don't see certainty in the circumstances that we're in, when Jesus had no place to lay his head, what did he have? A total comfort, a total peace in knowing that God was going to give him as his son, but also he was tempted in all ways like us, but was without sin. So we don't have a high priest that cannot. We have one that can. Jesus knows what it's like. So we're sitting in houses tonight and really in relative peace and security, and even with this uncertainty, we're living in a whole lot better condition than Jesus was. We got a whole lot worse that things can get before you and I should start saying, oh, man, we're living like Jesus was. So what do we have to be worried about? We have a promise of God, the promise to never leave us, promise to never forsake us, the promise to provide for us. Go out there and take captive these community that you're in, your workplace. What happens if they shut it down? Take it captive for Christ before they shut it down. Go share Jesus with someone this week. What happens if they get mad? Big deal. Has anybody ever gotten upset when you went to tell them about some deal at some store that they say, then I didn't have the money for that anyways? Okay, they get upset about something. Who cares? You're saying something to them that can be transformative. Let them reject it. Don't reject it for them. Walk in wisdom. Let's pray. Father, God, thank you so much tonight, Lord, for your word, God, for truth. God, I thank you for Jesus, Lord, the very essence of truth, the very essence of your character, the very essence of your love. Father, I pray tonight that we would have a passionate desire for wisdom, Lord, to walk in your truth, your plans, your will for our lives, Father. God, I pray, Lord, that you would enlighten us, Lord, if we are buying into any of the culture's lies, Father, concerning truth. Lord, if we're beginning to shift our unchanging morality, Father, which is rooted in your word, if we begin to fall away from that or get weak in that, God, convict us of it, Lord. Do not let the deceitfulness of sin harden our hearts, Father. Lord, forbid that we would be caught in that, God, and bring dishonor and ill repute on your name and watch churches and denominations fall away, Lord, to these lies from the enemy. That this stuff is okay now, and we've gotten so smart and enlightened now, and all of this, God, please do not allow us to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, Father. God, soften our hearts to those things that break your heart, Lord, those things that hurt you, God, help us ache and weep over them. Father, tonight, Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you, God, I pray they will not leave here without first seeking out one of us, Lord, that can share that hope in Jesus with them, that can help them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're a follower of Jesus Christ, God. And I pray that you'll embolden us as we go into our mission fields, Lord. Give us strength and wisdom beyond imagination and understanding, Lord, to share that awesome hope of Jesus, Lord. And Lord, just may you be glorified, magnified, honored, lifted up, exalted tonight. And we ask it all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.